Well, we're going to pick up the book of Judges, friends. So turn to Judges chapter 13, and we'll be making our way through the entire chapter tonight. The birth of Samson. And again, the children of Israel did evil in sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah whose family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or any similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." We're definitely shifting gears and moving on to a new place in Judges. Remember, we took a couple of Wednesday nights looking at Jephthah. I pray the one thing we took from just studying about that man was that he didn't let his past hold him back. He went forward into what the Lord had him to do. And then we finished looking at three judges, and most commentators wasn't too friendly with those guys, and there wasn't a whole lot written about them. And we can kind of ask the question, did they really do anything worthwhile with the life that God had given them and the position God had given them in the people of Israel and judging Israel? We could look at them as if, wow, they just didn't quite fulfill their potential. We could ask that question. And we left off last time we were in this book, which has seemed a long time ago now, but anyway, I mean, so many things have happened, was the question was, are we fulfilling the potential that God has given us? I think one of the saddest things for me in life, especially now in my mid-40s and going into my later 40s here too soon, is a lot of the folks that I went to high school with, you kind of get to see how things have turned out for them in regards to their life. And some of that stuff is just incredibly sad. Incredibly sad. Some of those guys were given over to addictions, and thus it is given over to just broken families. And you could just go on and on with these things. And I remember these folks like it was 1989, not like it's 2016, you see. And so as we're looking at this guy who we're very familiar with, in Judges, there's a few cats that you'd be really familiar with, a few names that would be really familiar. One was Gideon, and I think the other is Samson. Samson's the last judge that's mentioned in the book of Judges. And here's just a few things to think about as we're going to be looking at him. And we're going to spend about 3 weeks looking at Samson. Samson's name means sunny, and that's how his life started out, friends. He was an unexpected blessing to his parents who were childless and to the people of Israel who, we're going to read, have been subject to Israel now for 40 years. Samson would begin to deliver the people of Israel from the Philistines, but let's understand something about Samson. He did not get the job done. Samuel and David would come along and finish up the process. So here's the point, and this is the viewfinder as we're going to be looking at Samson. Samson is a story of someone who did not live up to his potential. Samson begins his ministry blessed by the Lord, but his life, as you guys know if you read the book, he was mocked by the Philistines. In Samson's death, he did kill many of the enemy, but how much better would it have been if his life would have been a living sacrifice, a life that was set apart from the beginning of his birth for this whole purpose to glorify God in the manner in which he was called to do. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says this, "Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what that is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." So as we're looking at Samson, I want us to understand something as we're looking at this guy. We're looking at it through the viewfinder of the big question. Is, man, he didn't quite get it done. And he gets tripped up in a big way. verses 1 and 2. The story of Samson opens with the story of Israel in the book of Judges. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Moab, and his wife was barren, and they had no children. Verse 1, this is the seventh time this phrase is mentioned in the book of Judges. Again, the children of Israel did evil in sight of the Lord. The children does evil in sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivers them into the hands of their enemy. And as we have seen, this is the cycle of sin. Bondage, repentance, deliverance, blessing, and sin again. But this time, 40 years. 40 years, man. Think about that. 40 years. Sad thing is, as we know, it did not have to be this way for Israel. They had a choice. You get a chance later tonight, and if you feel like it, or maybe tomorrow, look at Numbers chapter 11 and read the chapter. But I just want to share something briefly from that to kind of set the stage here. In verse 26 and 29 of chapter 11, the Lord said this to the people of Israel. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. The curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I commanded you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you possess, that you shall put the blessings on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. God gave these guys a very vivid picture of the choice. If you were looking at the Mount of Gerizim, it was a very fruitful place. Ebal was a very barren place. Now let's understand something where Israel's at right now because of the choice that they chose to make and chase after other gods and forget their God. They're in a place of barrenness. Just think about that word for just a minute. Barrenness. There's nothing. It doesn't conjure up these warm, fuzzy feelings. These guys have been subjected to an enemy they didn't have to be subjected to for 40 years. You know what? Some of the folks that were born within those 40 years, that's all they have ever known. Think about that just for a moment, friends. We look at our country and we look at all the changes that are going on. There's going to be some things that come down the pike when we finish our run here that our children had never known what it was like to be. You know what? My kids are never going to know what it's like. I'm not going to put you guys at... Hey, I'm glad you're secure. In fact, you're old. Did you watch Roy Rogers growing up? You watch Bonanza? My kids ain't going to know nothing about it. Who watched Little House on the Prairie? We've been watching Little House on the Prairie again. My kids getting all jazzed up about it. We watched an episode last night. There's almost a church split over bells, a church bell at Walnut Grove. And then, you know, the children, I'm watching this. I'm like, man, this is a pretty good show. You know? It shows them in church singing these hymns and they're talking about the Lord and all this other stuff. I'm like, man, guys, you have no idea. That's the kind of world I grew up in the 70s, 1974. You guys know what it was like when you grew up. Did you ever stop to think because of certain choices, my children, their new reality is radically different from mine. Okay, from mine. There was a generation of people, all they ever knew was, well, those Philistines, they just keep keeping us in our place. See, it didn't have to be that way. Because if you read all of Numbers chapter 11, God clues them in on the fact that I want you to pass some things on to your kids. I want you to pass on the word to your kids. I want you to put it on the doorpost. I want it to be there. They didn't do it. They didn't get the job done. It's really kind of sad. Never forget this. Israel made a wrong choice. They made a wrong turn. You know, you've heard it said before, experience is a great teacher. Yes, it is. But the tuition is incredibly high. And what we see sometimes with folks is they just keep taking that same class over and over and over and over again. That's Israel. They haven't learned anything. Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. Even though we have the tendency, of course, to make our own choices, God's still a great God of grace. And that's the other point as we've been looking in Judges. Amidst all this crummy dysfunction, we see the magnitude of how good God is. Never forget this. God's a good shepherd. He takes care of His people. He goes after wayward sheep. I love Psalm 23. I'm going to read it. You know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. God protects. He also disciplines. He also goes after His kids. Here's the point. We heard it before in the book of Judges. Just as we see clearly Israel's rebellion, we also see God's grace clearly. He is certainly working. He is a good shepherd. Now look at verse 2. This is how He's choosing to work this time. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, from the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. The Lord chooses a certain time, a certain place, a certain tribe, a certain couple to begin the process of deliverance for the people of Israel yet again. A certain man from this certain tribe, the tribe of the Danites. Remember the town, if you were to look at a map, Zorah was the tribe in Dan's land. The tribe of Dan's land bordered the Philistines' land. So see, he's going to be born in the right place. Because we're looking at Samson here. He was born in a right place. He was born in a certain city next to the Philistine territory. A certain man from a certain tribe, the tribe of the Danites. Remember the town of Zorah was in the tribe of Dan's land. The tribe of Danites bordered the Philistine land. And a dying Jacob said this in Genesis 49:16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. So see, we're starting to see some things just kind of come into play here. Okay? Not only that, Samson's going to be born to a certain couple who had no kids. And what we'll see is Samson had some very godly parents who believed in prayer. We read in verse 8 that Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, please let the man of God whom You sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child is to be born." There's two points we can take from verse 2. And it's nothing new, folks. First point is God knows what He's doing. Okay, period. What are the odds of all this stuff taking place? That's why God's put this in His Word. For us to kind of take note that God in His sovereignty and the magnitude of His wisdom is doing certain things in certain times in a certain way. He's working. He's being the good shepherd that knows the lay of the land. The Lord said this through Isaiah once. "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. Gently lead those who are young. Who's measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Who's measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in measure? Weighed mountains in scales and hills in the balance? Who's directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who's His counselor? Who has taught Him?" He knows what He's doing. And so many... all you guys' kids are gone. Okay, is it just me, or does it drive you nuts to hear why? 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 Because I said so, that's why. I mean, stop asking me why. Why do I need to pick up my room? A, because it looks like a junkie. Pick it up, man. Come on, get with the program. Why? 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 Well, that's your question. How many times we do that with God? How many times do we do that with God? Why? We may not verbalize it, but man, sometimes, believe it or not, we wear it on our countenance and it rolls around in our brain. Why? God knows what He's doing. Okay? He knows what He's doing and He's always working. Second point, everything was put in place for Samson to fulfill his potential. God placed him in the right city. A city that was near the Philistines. God placed him in the right tribe. God spoke through Jacob that this tribe would one day there would become a judge. God gave him the right parents their godly parents to fulfill that in which God's calling them to do. I love Psalm 139. I love verses 13 through 17. You form my inward parts. You cover me with my mother's womb. I will praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows them very well. My frame's not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest places of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they're all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts of me, O God, how great are the sum of them. You know, did we ever take a step back and just think about, wow. And I know I have said this so many times. You just look at the odds of where you were born and how your life has turned out to this point right now. Okay? Think about it just for a moment. Newsflash, folks. Lord does the same thing for us as He does for Samson, as He did for Samson. Don't believe me. Just contemplate the cross later on tonight and think about that. Peter said this, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." If we could just get really kingdom-minded on things, it would drastically change the way we view everything. It would drastically change the way we view maybe the parents we had, the city we grew up in, the tribe we've been placed into, where we're at right now in life. God doesn't work by happenstance. He's constantly working. He's constantly moving. He's a God of purpose, which brings us to verses 3 and 8. Remember, we're looking at facts, and the facts is Samson is set up for success. Samson is given a godly heritage, seen in his miraculous birth, as we're going to look, God's call on Samson's life, and Samson's godly parents. Let's look at his heritage. Verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son.'" Understand this, Samson is a miracle baby. The family had never known the joy of children. Okay, he's a miracle. He is an unexpected blessing. Manoah's wife was barren, and she was not going to have any kids unless the Lord stepped in. These guys were indeed of a God-sized breakthrough in their life. Now, just you got to put this stuff into context, because unfortunately, we've read this, and we know the end of the story. Okay, but let's understand something for Samson, and this is part of his story. Hey, Samson, you're a miracle. You're an absolute miracle. Man, you don't know how many times we tried to have kids. Samson, you are a miracle. You're a miracle. Samson would definitely hear that probably through his life. One thought to remember here. Remember, Israel made a choice of barrenness, and God is making the choice of fruitfulness amidst of barrenness. God not only desires to bless this couple, He also has a desire to bless a nation, and starts with the birth of a baby to a couple who's never known the joy of children. Isaiah 55 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." Just think about this just for a moment. The numerous ways God could have chose to deliver the people of Israel, He starts by blessing this family with a miracle baby. That's not the last time He's going to choose to bless through a baby, by the way, our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what He's doing. Verses 4 and 5. "Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me. His countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. He said, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son.' Now drink no wine or similar drink, or eat anything unclean, for the child should be a Nazarite to God from the womb of the day of his death." Not only is he a miracle baby, he's also a baby that's going to have a certain call on his life. The call on Samson's life was to be a Nazarite. Now, if you want to read more about that, look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 through 21. But just to give you an overview, a Nazarite was a voluntary vow for a period of time. And this vow was about being separated unto God. Three things a person had to do: no wine, don't cut your hair, don't contact with a dead person. The difference with Samson is he's a Nazarite from birth. Okay, you get the picture. He's being set apart for birth for a particular task. So not only is he a miracle baby, automatically his calling on his life and what he's called to do is set before him. So here he is, you know, Samson growing up. You know, you're a miracle baby. Me and your mom, man. I mean, we never thought we was going to have a... Yeah, but newsflash also, God's got the... That's why we're not taking you to the barber and give you some bubble gum. I mean, come on. That's why. I mean, because, you know, there's this thing that they're called a Nazarite, and people make this choice for themselves. They want to try to draw closer to the Lord. And they're not going to cut their hair, and they're not going to drink any fermented drink, and they're not going to touch anything. But I want you to understand something, Samson. From birth, this has been your path, son. God's got something really incredible. You've been set apart for the Lord for a specific purpose. Samson said this about, Spurgeon said this about Samson. Samson is, in many respects, one of the most remarkable men whose history is recorded in the pages of inspiration. He enjoyed the singular privilege of only accorded to one other person in the Old Testament. His birth was foretold to his parents by an angel. Isaac was promised to Abraham and Sarah by angels who entertained them unaware. But beside Isaac, Samson was the only one whose birth was foretold by an angelic messenger before the opening of the gospel dispensation. Before his birth, he was dedicated to God, set apart as a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite was a person who was entirely consecrated to God. In a token of the consecration, drank no wine and allowed his hair to grow untouched by the razor. Samson, you may therefore understand, was entirely consecrated to God. And when any saw him, they would say, "That man is God's man, a Nazarite set apart." He knew what he was called to do. That's the point. Miraculous birth, special calling made known to him from birth. Man, everything is in place for Samson to do what he is being called to ultimately do one day. But as we read on, God also blessed him with some godly parents, folks who had a heart for the Lord. Look at verses 6 and 7. Samson's mom. "So the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now no drink or wine or similar drink nor anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to his day.' She believed the message and took heed to the message. She put faith to her feet, and she takes God at his word. She tells her husband of the miracle to come, but also what she is to do." She's a godly person. Think about this, guys. All she ever known in regards to kids is barrenness. You remember when Sarah was told she was going to have a kid? She laughed. When she's told that she's going to have a kid, she doesn't laugh. She goes and shares the good news with her husband. She takes steps of great faith. She has a heart for the Lord, seen in the fact she believed the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now look at verse 8. It says, "Samson's dad prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us that we shall do for the child who's been born.'" One thing to note here, what did he do when he heard the news? He prayed to God. Samson's dad's a man of prayer. And he also has a heart for being obedient to the Lord. Yes, he is asking questions, but more importantly, he's asking the right questions. Teach us. Okay, that says something about him. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" I love what Corson said about Samson's parents. Listen to this. I like this. When his wife told him that she had seen an angel of the Lord, Samson's dad didn't say, "You flipped out, lady." No, realizing his wife had some sort of very special, dynamic spiritual revelation and understanding, he wisely said, "Lord, please confirm it." Listen carefully, guys. The nature of a woman is such that they will often be more spiritually perceptive than you are. So when they share with you a revelation or an understanding, don't reject it. Be like Samson's dad and ask the Lord to confirm it. Bottom line, friends, Samson's mom and dad were a couple of humble folks who the Lord could use. Nothing special about these guys other than the most important quality in following the Lord. They believed what he told them. They believed what he spoke to him. I mean, really, what do they have going for them at this point? They're just a couple that's known as they can't have any kids. But there's something more dynamic about these guys. I mean, it's not actually written in here about what their spiritual life was like, but you can kind of put some pieces together of how they reacted to what had happened. These are a couple of folks that have a heart for the Lord. Finally, the last miracle of Samson's birth is the one who appeared and announces it to Samson. Okay, see, we're looking at all the... I mean, this guy has got everything going for him. Everything is put in place. He's born in the right town, born in the right tribe. He's been given the right parents. Everything. He knows what he's ultimately called to do. Everything's set up for him. But here's something else. The last miracle of Samson's birth is the one who appears and announces the birth. This is really special. Verses 9 through 29. God listened to the voice of Samson's dad. I'm not going to mispronounce his name again, by the way. And the angel of God came to the woman again, and she was sitting in the field. Her husband was not with her, and the woman ran in haste and told her husband, said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day just now appeared to me." So he arose and followed his wife, and when he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am. Now, let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life, his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "All that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine, a similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All I commanded her," let her observe one more thing about Samson's mom, she was also obedient to do what God asked her to do. That's just another important quality she had. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we'll prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know it was an angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What's your name? And when your words come to pass, we may honor you." And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it's wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat, grain offering, offered it on the rock of the Lord, upon a rock to the Lord. He did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as a flame, and it went up from heaven to the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended to the flame of the altar, and when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we've seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would have not accepted the burnt offering, the grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as this at this time." Now let's understand something. The announcer of Samson's birth is even more miraculous because of who he is. The angel of the Lord is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so miracle baby. Miracle baby. Incredible, special messenger, Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says to these guys before we get angered in the fact this is Jesus speaking. Remember Manoah prayed? He prayed, "Oh Lord," he said, "Oh Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child." And here's what happens. He does come back again and he does confirm his word to Samson's dad. But notice what else he does not do. The next request, because he asks, "What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" God gave these guys the confirmation they wanted, but as far as the boy's work in the future, he simply told them, and ask them to do what he asked them to do now. Is that not like Jesus? He gives us confirmation. But then he just asks us to trust and do what he's spoken now. Don't worry about next year. Don't worry about it. It does no good. Okay, don't worry about it. Just concentrate on what Jesus has said right now and what he's confirmed to do right now. Notice he didn't lay out the full work or the full scope of Samson and what he was going to do and how that was all going to work out. That's not what he did. But he did confirm what he said he was going to do. He told him, just focus, do what I just asked you to do. Jesus said this once before he went back to the Father in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, and I think we need to get a hold of this one. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will at this time you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons for which the Father has put in his own authority, but when you receive power from the Holy Spirit, as he come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me in Samaria, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just focus on what I've told you to do. Focus on sharing the good news. Don't focus or try to guess when I'm coming back. Okay? That's not your concern. I'm coming back. But you got a job to do until I get back. Now here's the big question. Is this really Jesus? We'll look at verses 15 through 18. It says this, the Moses said to the angel, please let us detain you and we'll prepare a goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name that when your words come to pass, we may honor you? And the angel of the Lord said, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? There's two proofs here. First one is, I won't eat your food, but I will accept a sacrifice offering made to the Lord. Second proof, he gives his name Wonderful. I want to ask you a question. When is the last time we really thought Jesus was wonderful? Just something simple as that. Because, you know, his name is a reflection of who he is. He's wonderful. We read in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful. He's wonderful. Why else do we gather here and open this book? Why else do we sing songs? Why else are we looking forward to his coming back? Because he's wonderful. He tells them who his name is. It's Wonderful. Is that not like Jesus to be the messenger of good news during a time of barrenness? Jesus still does that today, by the way, every time we share the gospel. Because people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, people who are separated from God, they may look like they have a very fruitful situation, but I assure you, apart from Christ is barrenness, period. End of story. Ephesians 1:13 tells us, in him you also trust as after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of a promise. Man, wonderful. Look at verse 19 through 23. One last proof, this is Jesus. Now remember, we're looking at the fact of all these things are just kind of jammed up with how Samson is ready to launch. Okay, ready to launch and be successful in what God's called him to do. Okay? Right town, right tribe, right parents, miraculous birth, an incredible calling. Not only that, an incredible messenger coming to give the good news, our Lord Jesus Christ. One last proof. Verse 19 through 21. So Manoah took the young goat grain offering, offered it upon the rock of the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing, which that's what Jesus does. He does wonderful things. While Manoah and his wife looked on, and it happened as the flame went up towards the heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended to the flame of the altar. And when Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, Manoah knew he had seen the angel of the Lord. Jesus does something wonderful, and why not? Jesus is wonderful. He's the angel of the Lord, proved the fact that he does a wonderful and wondrous thing. He ascends into the flame of the sacrifice. Of course, this is not going to be the last time Jesus would step into a flame of sacrifice, by the way. Let's finish the chapter. One more thought about Samson's parents. One final thought about Samson. And remember, we're looking through a viewfinder here, friends. We're looking through the viewfinder of dude is set up to launch. He's given everything he needed to accomplish what God had for him. We read in verse 22, and Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we've seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering, a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. One thing we can take from Sam, one last thought about Samson's mom and dad, is they had a good marriage, which is a huge blessing to kids. Something to think about here. Manoah may have thought, perhaps, well, you see God and died. But his wife comes alongside in a wonderful way. Listen to what Guzik said here. Manoah's wife was an invaluable source of encouragement for his faith. She didn't criticize Manoah. She didn't say, "What a silly man you are. What a stupid man you must be to be so frightened." We can never strengthen someone's faith by criticizing. We must do as Manoah's wife did, encourage them, build them up in faith. An old preacher said that there's many a man who has had his head broken by his own rib, but there's many a man who's had his heart cured the same way. Samson's mom said this, "He would have not accepted a burnt offering." I mean, she comes along in such an encouraging, not a criticizing way. She's not a wet blanket. Here's my point. Not only are these godly parents, I believe they have a very good relationship. That's one of the best things we could ever give our kids. One final thought about Samson tonight. Last thought. Verse 24 and 25. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. The child grew and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. Here's the final thought. The Lord blessed Samson with everything he needed to fulfill the call of his life. The Lord called him to the task. He put him in the right geographic location to fulfill the task. The Lord gave Samson godly parents. But last but not least, the Spirit moved upon Samson. God not only called him, God empowered him by the Holy Spirit for the work he has done. Now, as you look at this, here's what I thought as I looked at all this stuff. I mean, this is my thinking. Because this is what we do. We look at this. Unfortunately, we compare sometimes. We compare maybe our heritage. We compare where we were born. We can compare opportunities. So see, we might be sitting here thinking, well, you know, Lord, I was born here and nothing much exciting came of that situation. Well, Lord, you allowed me to kind of be placed in this trap. Man, that ain't too exciting. Maybe we didn't have the parents like Samson had. Samson had some pretty good parents. Okay, maybe not according to the world. The world, I mean, they're just the two folks that can't have no kids. But man, you look at this thing and you see that, man, they had a heart for the Lord. They wanted to do right by the Lord by following Him. Samson's dad was a man of prayer. I mean, he prayed. He sought for confirmation. We looked at, you know what, their marriage must have been pretty good. I mean, Samson's mom is a pretty awesome lady. Maybe we didn't have those kind of parents. We didn't grow up in that kind of home. Maybe we think we've been short-sighted a little bit by the Lord. See, I want us to understand something. First of all of us have been born. We didn't get to choose where we were born. We didn't get to choose the family we were born into. Most of us, probably really didn't get to choose the vocation. Okay. But what I wanted all of us to kind of be encouraged in, because we look, I mean, that's pretty incredible what God did with this guy. I mean, you know, one of the things I want to do for my children is set them up to launch. You know? And I think all you guys were the same way. You want to see your kids successful, doing life well. See, what I want us to understand and walk away with tonight is what God did for Samson is what God has done for us through Christ. Because we've been born again, right? You might be asking yourself, well, I still got my same parents. Well, let me ask you this. Were there not people in the church that were like spiritual mom and dads that God sent to come alongside, to encourage, to help. See, no one, there's no such thing as, I'm going to pull myself by my bootstraps and make it. No. That don't happen. God places us in. Think of the first fellowship you were placed in. Think of key people that may have surrounded you and encouraged you in your walk with Christ. It's not by accident. Think of all the studies you may have been blessed with to listen to, or books that have been recommended that you have read. It's not by accident. He's a good shepherd. He takes care of his kids, period. See, none of us by accident are here tonight by design. God's working. God's moving. Because believe it or not, there's people within each of our circle that are barren. They're in a place of barrenness because of choices that are made. And see, God has probably equipped us in a certain manner, in a certain way, to minister to them and share the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's a brother or a sister that's just kind of gone off the rails. And God's placed us in our life to be maybe that spiritual mom and dad that other folks were for us. Share something with you before we get out of here. Final thought for us tonight. Jesus has not done anything less for us than he did for Samson. No, matter of fact, Jesus has done more for us than he did for Samson. Paul would write this to the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 3 through 11, redemption in Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, set apart, without blame before him in love. Okay, we're not just a project, okay? We're not just a project. You know, Jesus feels sorry for us. We're a project. And he loves us. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. See, we've not been shortchanged. If you're saved here tonight, you're not shortchanged. Everything's been set up to fulfill potential. Get excited. But you're only going to get excited if you get excited in him. See, some people look for ministry to fulfill some type of need. That ain't what it's about, folks. It's about serving a king. And as we serve the King and enjoy Him, guess what? We'll find all the fulfillment we could ever possibly want, because it's going to be about Him. Jesus is still wonderful because that's who He is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful. So as we get out of here tonight, I pray we'd just be so encouraged in Him. 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 Encouraged in Him.